Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Yankees been in the Bronx for 83 years, and the Bronx is now, the South Bronx is designated as the most impoverished county in the nation. In the nation. And so there should have been some impact greater.
City Councilman Charles Barron there at yesterday's contentious hearing on a new Yankee stadium. We continue our coverage of the stadium dispute to begin the program this morning. Yesterday, we heard from a supporter and an opponent of the new Yankee Stadium plan, and we said that a vote was expected yesterday afternoon in the council's land use committee. Well, that vote did not take place after a long and very contentious hearing in the committee. Now, many residents of the area remain opposed, and for a variety of reasons. The scattering of the existing parkland, some of it to more dangerous spots, some to more remote spots. The moving of the stadium itself by one block closer to more apartment buildings, and the addition of parking for 3,000 more cars, which they say will increase asthma rates in an area already afflicted. It's the poorest neighborhood in America, as Charles Barron just referred to, versus the richest team in sports. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein was at the hearing yesterday and joins us now. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
They knew going in that there was community opposition. Why did the Land Use Committee not take a vote?
Well, they knew that they weren't going to vote before the meeting. That had already been decided.
Uh-huh.
And there was yesterday a funeral of a long-time aide to the city council that a number of council members went to. So when I called the council office to find out if there would be a vote, they said, because everything has been so topsy-turvy today, we're not going to do the vote. We're going to do it April 5th. However, there was the meeting was very contentious, and there were a number of council members who expressed skepticism about many aspects of the deal yesterday. And it's unclear whether they would have won a vote whether the Yankees would have won a vote if the vote had taken place yesterday.
Do you think some council members are having second thoughts after initially supporting the idea but now seeing the intensity of the opposition, or just taking a closer look at the details?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I have been to many contentious council hearings. The rezoning of Greenpoint Williamsburg comes to mind, where council member after council member trashed the administration's plan, and then a few weeks later they came to a compromise and everybody stood together and, you know, held hands high in the air together. So this is an opportunity for council members to extract concessions both from the Yankees and from the administration. And, you know, it's the great thing about the land use process in New York City. You know, there's a lot of talk last year about how the West Side Stadium didn't go through the city land use process. It went through the state land use process. Is that you do have these hearings, and council members who tend to be very close to their constituents have an opportunity to voice concerns, large and small. And yesterday, concerns were expressed from everything about the accessibility of the new parks and the new ball fields that are being built, to how many Yankees tickets are going to be available to the community, to whether there will be parking allowed for the residents in these new garages or on the street. So, you know, there was even some council members that seemed to sort of be supportive of the plan in the broad sense were upset at the administration. They said, you know, we've been asking for details on the parks. You know, what exactly are you going to do? Where is the money going to go? Is money going to go to other parks? You know, what about the parking? What about the enforcement? You know, why aren't you giving us this information? You want us to vote on this, but you haven't given us the details. So
it is
an opportunity for them to express these things.
Right. And we can take more phone calls this morning on the new Yankee Stadium proposal. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 433-9692. Now, those of you listening yesterday may have heard that in our interview with the Bronx Borough President, Adolfo Carrion, who supports the stadium, the extent of the opposition in the neighborhood was an issue. And after I asked him why he thinks the local community board appointed by him voted against it, here's what he said.
The community board was overwhelmed by a group of outside agitators and activists who came from, not from the neighborhood, but from around the region, and other parts of the city. It's kind of the same group that was opposing Atlantic Yards and the Nets Arena. They run around town. They consider themselves community organizers.
But you don't think the majority of residents of that neighborhood are genuinely opposed?
Absolutely not. I think that there is a silent majority, and there is a vociferous, loud minority, and I respect their opinions. We've made some changes to the plan, but this is progress. You know, leadership requires one to take into consideration all of the opinions and then to move forward with growth, and that's what we're doing.
So, Adolfo Carrion, and Andrea, this has sparked outrage, that comment, by some listeners, both in the Bronx and around Atlantic Yards. And yesterday afternoon, I followed up by calling Borough President Carrion's office and asking them to identify one outside agitator or agitator group by name and get back to me by this morning's show. Well, they did not get back. Is this just an ugly, baseless smear against the neighborhood opponents? Or do such outside agitators who go from stadium to stadium exist?
Well, as you know, I've covered the Atlantic Yards extensively, and I do know that some of the people who are opposed to the Ratner development have been to some of the hearings, but I am not aware of their organizing in opposition to Yankee Stadium. I've been contacted by many opponents of aspects of the Yankee Stadium plan, and none of them, to my knowledge, are involved in opposing the Ratner Arena. And there were certainly quite a few people there yesterday from the South Bronx, from park groups, from economic justice groups. So it certainly has its own organic opposition. And I think it sort of comes down to what we were hearing council members say, which is Councilmember Barron at the top of the show, which is, you know, you've been here for 83 years and we are still the poorest congressional district in the nation. And, you know, they brought Reggie Jackson yesterday to and they played a little video about, you know, the alleged Bronx pride among Yankees team players, and which that, interestingly, the video got, it raised the temperature in the room quite a bit. People really took umbrage at it. They felt it was insulting. And the one of the councilmember, Helen Foster of the Bronx, asked Reggie Jackson, you know, she said, well, why should we trust you? There's no history of your doing much for this community. And the Yankees said, well, we're developing a community benefits agreement. And they said, well, why hasn't it been signed? Why don't we know the exact details? We don't think there's enough employment for the Bronx. What's the enforcement mechanism? And Randy Levine, the president of the Yankees, said, well, you know, you have to trust us. You have to have some goodwill. And there was a sense of, you know, among these people, you know, why should we? Show us the money. Let's see it in writing.
Right. Where's the history of goodwill? And Carrion said at the end of that clip that he believes most South Bronx residents are actually for the plan, for the jobs it would bring and the improvements in the parks facilities, even if the parks become more scattered. Do you have any way to gauge independently?
I have never, you know, seen a poll. And my guess is that people in the South Bronx are, you know, concerned about a lot of other things other than whether the Yankees are getting a new ballpark. I mean, you know, one of the questions that the Yankees have yet to answer is, you know, you go to Yankees games. I have to confess, I haven't been to many, but I have been to Cyclones games. I've been to the Liberty. And,
wrong borough.
You know, people tend to, you know, get in their cars and they drive to the parking lot and they go in the stadium and they buy all their food there and then they go to their cars and they leave. And there isn't a lot of community interaction. There isn't a lot of attempt to get people out and to buy things. That isn't the reality of going to ball games. And the Yankees really couldn't answer, you know, how are you going to get people out into the community, especially when they're building all these new parking lots. And there was a lot of discussion yesterday about the parking lots. There was a question asked by Councilmember Vittorini of Harlem and the Bronx to Randy Levine saying, you know, why didn't you insist on a new Metro North station? If you'd insisted, if you said we're going to leave if we don't get a Metro North station, then it probably would have been done. If they had insisted on that in the way that they insisted on the parking garage. And what Randy Levine said to that was, you know, well, we're just a ball team. You know, we can't make that happen.
Let's take a phone call. Jan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jan.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I call as a lifelong Yankee fan from the days when we had three baseball teams in the city of New York. And I really feel that to lose the history of Yankee Stadium and what it has meant to the fans, to the players. You know, Yankee Stadium was not only a venue for baseball teams, but Pope spoke there. There were political conventions held there. There were rock concerts there. There were prize fights there. So it's been a very important part of the history of our city.
So you're bringing up a whole other issue, which actually we didn't even touch on yesterday's show, which is Yankee Stadium in its current location as historic landmark. Why would it matter, Jan, if they tear down the current Yankee Stadium and build a new one in place, or if they tear it down and build the same new one a block away?
Well, first of all, as I understand, the new location is very close to apartment buildings. What troubles me is this. My understanding was that originally they were going to take off the top tier of Yankee Stadium and leave it in place for minor league and maybe little league play. And I think that would mean so much not only to the kids in the little league but to professionals in the minor leagues to be playing on that same turf as Mickey Mantle and Derek Jeter. And I can go back and name you all kinds of great baseball players, mm-hmm. not only Yankees but from other teams who have played there. There's a great deal of significance. The other question I want to ask is, what are they going to do with the other side of River Avenue? That's where you have the cheap bars and the souvenir stands and so forth.
Right, the little business that does exist around Yankee Stadium, a few souvenir shops across River Avenue. If the new Yankee Stadium goes into the current McCombs Dam Park, and Andrea, I don't know if you know that area, it is apartment buildings all around. So would there be a place for those businesses like Stan Sports World, which every Yankee fan knows, to move?
Well, the question of the new stadium, old stadium, the area where the current stadium is going to be turned into a ballpark. They're going to basically take down the bleachers and take down the stands, but leave the field and put trees all around it where the bleachers are, and that will be available for Little League teams and the community. And their new stadium that they're building is going to be a replica of the original mm-hmm. Yankee Stadium. And if you look at the model now, there's more of a sort of street life around it than the current Yankee Stadium. I mean, there's more, there's windows and a sense of openness. I don't actually know what is going to happen to the souvenir stands
right.
now and exactly the route that people would take coming from the new parking garages.
You know, Jan brings up a baseball fan's concern. Most of our focus has been neighborhood concerns. There's a whole argument that George Steinbrenner is not only getting over on the South Bronx with this plan, if in fact it's bad for the neighborhood, but he's getting over on Major League Baseball. Because just a few years ago, baseball imposed what they call a luxury tax, which was very much aimed at the Yankees because they have so much more money than any other team in the game, allowing them to buy all these high-priced players. And, they've come in first in their division like 10 years in a row. Well, they now have to pay a luxury tax based on their payroll to be distributed to other teams to help level the playing field a little bit. They get to deduct a lot of the expenses that they'll be putting into a new stadium from their Major League Baseball luxury tax. So the new stadium plan will even wind up further unleveling the playing field in the major leagues.
Well, there's a lot of question because, the Yankees, we're paying for the stadium ourselves. We're paying for it ourselves. We're not asking for any money.
Is it true?
Well.
All right. You know what? We have to take a break. And I know it's not a 20-second answer to that question. So when we come back, we'll take some more phone calls. We'll play another interesting clip from Bronx Borough President Adolfo Carrion from yesterday's show. And we'll look at just how much taxpayer money would be going into a new Yankee Stadium. Stay tuned. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a few minutes, the Israeli Consul General to New York, Ariel Meckel, appointed by Ariel Sharon. We will get his thoughts on the historic Israeli election results from last night. But we continue for a few more minutes with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, who covered the City Council Land Use Committee hearing on the new Yankee Stadium proposal yesterday. A vote was not taken, as was originally scheduled, and as we said on this program, was scheduled. So for those of you who want to weigh in on this and have your voice heard in the public arena, you have another week and a day, because this Land Use Committee vote is now scheduled for next Thursday, right?
April 5th.
That is next Thursday, in fact. Oh, no, wait a minute. The 5th is Wednesday. So next Wednesday. Okay. Public subsidy. We keep hearing the Yankees are paying for this whole thing themselves, as you said, but not entirely.
Well, the Yankees are going to be paying for the construction of the new stadium, sort of, because they are going to be getting tax-free bonds from the city to be able to do this. And, you know, I know the Yankees would scream if they heard this, but they're getting to pay it back with their pilot payments. Those are called payments in lieu of taxes. So it's sort of like you're getting a tax-free mortgage and you get to pay it back with your taxes.
On the whole $866 million price tag of the stadium?
Not entirely. Some of it is taxable bonds and, you know, there's a little bit coming here from a little bit coming there. So in a sense, yes, they're paying for it, but they're also having the ability to bring down the cost of it through these various public financing mechanisms. And then in addition to that, there is also the $160 million that the city is paying for the parks, basically, to move the parks to accommodate the new stadium and to accommodate the new parking garage, and then the state, which is paying the $75 million for the new parking garage. So there's all kinds of assumptions that are inherent in those subsidies. I mean, the city says it's necessary infrastructure, but, you know, sort of even get to the point where you have to conclude that it's necessary, you could have, as was pointed up yesterday, the Yankees could have said, take this public money and spend it on a new Metro North station instead of the parking garages.
So let me play another clip of Bronx Borough President Carrion from yesterday's show. I asked him several times why George Steinbrenner gets his way on some of these things, moving the stadium across the street rather than having to rebuild in place just for the convenience of not having to go play at Shea for 2 years like they did in the 70s, or getting taxpayer subsidies when he owns the richest team in sports. And here's what Carrion said.
What the city does every time that it wants to keep somebody here, and it's done in New York and it's done all across this country, when you want to make your city attractive to a business is you create a certain number of incentives, and we've done it. This is obviously nothing new. what folks fail to understand is, I mean, the infrastructure improvements that need to be made, the parking garages there will not be run by the New York Yankees. They will be run privately. And the other part of the deal is that we will have year-round parking for the residents of the community in the parking garages at a very reasonable cost. And that's part of the benefit of this development. Mm-hmm.
So he said when the city wants to keep a business here. So the Bronx Borough President's bottom line implication there is that if we don't let the boss have his way, he'll take his marbles and set up the team as the New Jersey Yankees or something like that. But does anyone think that's a real threat?
Well, let's break this down. First of all, are the Yankees going to leave New York? I seem to remember there was a time in the 1990s when the Yankees were going to leave if they didn't get to have a stadium on the west side of Manhattan. So
that was the Giuliani West Side Stadium, which was a baseball stadium.
That was the argument for many years, that the Yankees were going to pick up and go elsewhere if they didn't get a heavily subsidized stadium on the west side of Manhattan. Well, they didn't get a heavily subsidized stadium. They didn't get the west side of Manhattan. And lo and behold, they're still the New York Yankees.
You know, and in fact, they had their largest attendance last baseball season ever in the entire storied history of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, you know, I remember when the Yankees, when this was announced, the new plan for the stadium, and, you know, there's a long line of people there and Yankees, and the governor was there and the mayor and Dan Doctoroff, and everybody was saying this is such a great deal for the city, and we're only paying for the infrastructure, the questions were, gee, isn't this great and isn't this wonderful? And I remember raising my hand and saying, you know, why isn't the some $200+ million of city and state money a subsidy? And I sort of got the evil eyes, sort of, you know, why are you asking this at this point? The Bloomberg administration, Mayor Bloomberg, if you ask him about this, will say, I don't believe in offering cash for companies to stay in New York outside outright subsidies. You know, if people, if a team wants to stay, if a company wants to stay, we'll help them out with the infrastructure. Well, the infrastructure concept is sort of fungible, but that is his philosophy. And in fact, under the Bloomberg administration, there has been a lot less of what opponents call corporate welfare. Now, the mayor has had at his disposal an awful lot of 9/11 money that wasn't available previously, that some would argue he's been using in place of that to, you know, lure corporate entities here. You know, the sort of philosophy of we need to give people a lot of money to stay in New York is something that the mayor says he rejects.
But not entirely.
But not, I mean, the question is, you know, what is the infrastructure and is a parking garage necessary infrastructure?
Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Alan.
Yes, hello. I called in because I've been working in regards to the arena for the Nets here in Brooklyn, and I was contacting the people up in about the Yankee Stadium, in part because I'm very concerned that these stadiums are terrorist targets. And today, in fact, one of the consequences of that is terrorism insurance. And today there's a meeting by the New York State Superintendent of Insurance, Howard Mills, because all businesses and properties surrounding these area, these stadiums, will have their premiums for different kinds of insurance affected by these being terrorist targets.
But any stadium presumably would be a terrorist target, and presumably a new stadium would be better defended than any old stadium. Is that not fair?
The new stadium that they're building is much closer to private residences and to businesses, and those businesses will be affected by terrorism insurance premiums. Uh-huh. There was an article in the Daily News 2 days ago that a animal shelter was denied insurance by a carrier because they were within a quarter of a mile of an Upper East Side private residence, a tall apartment building.
So, Alan, did you tell my screener you're an outside agitator?
Well, I'm coming from Brooklyn, and I made contact with the with people up in the Bronx to tell them about the issues. There's also
Because you think if you help generate the opposition to Yankee Stadium, it'll help your opposition to Atlantic Yards?
Well, it's the same issue. Traffic is enormously impacted if they close down streets because of something coming out of Washington, D.C., saying we're in an elevated terror alert situation. Suddenly, traffic comes to a complete standstill. We experienced that in Brooklyn for 3 days in August of 95 when there was a terror alert out of Washington, D.C., and they decided to inspect all commercial vehicles going over the Manhattan Bridge.
Alan, I'm gonna leave it there because we're running out of time. Andrea Bernstein, where does this go now?
Well, it does go to a vote in the City Council Committee, and then it goes to a vote in the full council. There's also a hearing on the financing, and then the State Public Authorities Control Board needs to approve the state money. I will just say that Yankee Stadium is going through the city land review process. The Nets Arena is not. So it's what happens in the Yankees is not necessarily a template for what happens in Brooklyn.
It makes them more vulnerable, right?
It makes the Yankees more vulnerable to community concerns, certainly.
Let me get one call from a supporter. Eric in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. We have 30 seconds.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm a Grand Concourse resident. I've been born and raised here, third generation already, and the issues of the poor, you know, who are crying that they do not want a stadium, that it's going to impact them. I mean, it's really ridiculous because Yankee Stadium has always been by residential buildings. There were people who used to charge a nickel back in the 20s to sit on the roof so you could actually look into the stadium and see these games. If you look across River Avenue, the backs of buildings face the L. The L has always been rambling on Jerome Avenue and the apartment buildings that will be by Yankee Stadium.
And what about moving the parks to more scattered, more remote, they say more dangerous down by the river locations, adding 3,000 parking garage spots, meaning more cars, less mass transit.
The park is that we'll have two parks in two separate areas, so people will be able to have an option who live further south. There's going to be a New Bronx Terminal Market. The buildings already faced Jerome Avenue anyhow, with the train rumbling, with the L, with that sort of chaos. So there's not going to be much of a significant impact. It's so close that the difference won't be significant. And if you look at those buildings on Jerome Avenue, these are glorious Art Deco buildings that were destroyed by the people who live in there. And I have toured these buildings myself.
Eric, we're going to leave it there and not get into the old argument of who destroyed the buildings in the Bronx. But WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, hearing rescheduled for April 5th. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.